Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Say hi, Kim.
Hi.
Come on.
Want me to up it a little bit more?
Are you constipated?
No.
I would be if I had poop in a bucket.
Do you want me to up the energy a little bit? Because I can if you want.
I want you to release all of this. All of it. I want people to not know what I mean by poop in a bucket.
Like I said, do you want me to raise the energy levels a little bit?
No, I think you're good.
No, I can do that. I don't think you're ready.
Be Radio Tim for the introduction. Like Whack Pack Morning Zoo, Tim.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever you're, I messed it up.
Wow.
Wherever you are, whatever the time of day is, I hope you're having a good one of it. And we have Mark here, we have me here, because we're going to be doing a podcast, and it's called Podcast 2187 because it's about Star Wars. So, with that being said, Mark, we're going to check in, see how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good, Tim. Thanks for the intro, appreciate it.
All right, I was with you, and then I heard the honk, and now I'm confused.
That's all right. That's supposed to be a sound effect. I'm good. I'm really good.
Let's see. And how much of the nation is getting huge amounts of snow right now? Because I heard it was a good chunk.
Not me. It's cold. I think I get rain tomorrow. I'm about to have a fence put in next week. What else? What else is happening? I went out in the mud and dug little trenches so that the water, when it comes off the house, can stay away from the house for now.
Right, your moat?
Yeah, it's the start of my French drain, but it's just, down and dirty for right now.
I petition that you get a moat, like an actual literal moat, and you just, you copy the boat that, Mandalorian that they used when he was on they threw Baby Yoda into the water thing, that boat thing I'm talking about.
God, I love Baby Yoda. Did you see that sideshow deluxe Mandalorian and Baby Yoda?
No.
The sideshow toys?
No.
So I don't know if it was a statue or one of their figures. I think it was one of their figures, but the deluxe edition.
Uh-huh.
So the cape is like a molded plastic, I think, right? Which is unusual. Uh-huh. But the way the cape swings out, it's actually the stand for Baby Yoda who floats because he's attached to the cape.
Okay.
Grogu, excuse me. But it's fantastic. And it's like, oh, I want it. How much? $600. Nope.
Yeah, I want it, but I don't want it that much.
No. Like I think Django is like $300 maybe. When it's coming out, and I'm like, okay, that seems reasonable. I'd be more than happy to get Django. I already got Boba Fett with the Sarlacc tentacles. And I'm sure I'll be getting, a new phone who dis Boba with his paint job. But, I don't know. I think $600, because it's a deluxe edition, I'd rather just have one that maybe Baby Yoda actually is in a little plastic stand that you can see. It doesn't look like he floats, but.
Well, like, I'm sure that it's worth the price, for like the quality it is and everything. I'm sure about that. It's just, I don't need that quality right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, these things don't even come out that often. Like, Jango Fett doesn't even come out until 2022, I think it is. So it's like, okay, if you break it down monthly over the course of whatever, you're like, that's not really that much. For it's not like there's going to be 8 million Mandalorians out there, and it's probably actually economical based on how much money I blow on stupid stuff. Like, I keep forgetting to bring my lunch this week, and so it's like $8 here, $6 there, and before you know it, you've probably spent 40, 50 bucks that week.
Right.
Before you know it, in 2 months, 3 months, I could have had Baby Yoda attached to the Cape Mandalorian hot toy.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, like, that's just that's a lot of pre-planning.
I know, I don't do much pre-planning.
Well, because it actually made me think of something that we can kind of discuss about upcoming Star Wars stuff with, you talk about Jango Fett, maybe think of Temuera Morrison and all the different roles he's played, which leads me back to, is he going to be in like everything at this point? Because we've got rumors of him. We know he's a Mandalorian, of course. He's got his own show as Boba Fett. There are rumors of him being in the Kenobi series as Commander Cody, and there are rumors about him being Rex in the Ahsoka series. So, seriously, is he in like everything?
Ooh. Even better. Even better. Here's something that, you know, Andrew, LA Kings Drew and I were talking about. That would be amazing. So we talked about Commander Cody, right?
Yeah.
What would you rather see? Would you rather see Obi-Wan versus Cody, or would you rather see Rex versus Cody?
Honestly, Rex versus Cody, yeah.
Right, like Rex has to stop Cody from going after Obi-Wan.
Just because, yeah, and because...
Brother versus brother, and also brother versus brother.
Well, there's more established backstory between Cody and Rex than Obi-Wan and Cody, for being honest.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was his guy, but that's about it. But yeah, wouldn't that be amazing if they happened to do that? And part of me is like, you're so stupid if you don't.
Yeah, that would be great. It would be a great idea for them to do that.
Didn't we have a you're so stupid if you don't moment for Rise of Skywalker, and they didn't do it?
I mean, we've had that moment for pretty much every project that's come out since The Force Awakens. Yeah.
Like, the voices were cool, but imagine if they were just
actually there.
Ghosts. Or just ghosts in the background, you know? Like, I saw somebody do it to where it was the ghosts are there, and then they all kind of funnel into her, and she says, I'm all Jedi or whatever.
I think I saw it was like a fan edit or whatever.
Yeah,
I think
it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember thinking it was actually pretty well done overall.
Did you see the fan edit of the ending of Mandalorian?
You don't remember. I saw somebody redid the CGI with deepfake stuff. I saw that. And they're like, it looks
good.
But like, it needs some work still, though. Like the one that we got in the show was more photorealistic. The other one was more animated, which, you know, there are pros and cons to each. So if you combine the two, it would have been great. I mean, it was fine as it was, but I'm just saying it would have been like perfect if you'd been able to combine the animation with the realism, you know? But okay, no, what are you talking about for the ending, the fan edit ending?
Oh, just the one to where that was the one, the ending of Mandalorian, where they actually changed the CGI for Luke.
Oh, okay.
They had him with a different hairstyle, kind of more a little bit closer to Return of the Jedi, and like you said, the lips are a little bit more animated. Which is pretty
the
good.
Eyes.
It's good though.
Yeah. I think honestly, that was the biggest thing was the eyes more than like you can work with almost anything else, but I mean I don't have any issues with them not picking it apart, but if they could have improved something, if I had to pick something for them, and they're like, hey, what can we do better? I probably would have said make the eyes a little bit more like alive / have them move at any point, you know. So, yeah.
It's good. It was one of those moments where it's like, oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I need to rewatch it all. I think I'm going to rewatch it all now that I have a. excuse me. Now I have a 4K television.
Oh, do you now?
But I don't have one of those. What is that? OLED.
Yeah.
I don't have that yet.
I don't think I do.
That's
either.
My new thing. That's my new thing. I'm gonna wait. Like right now, it's out of my ballpark. I mean, I could get it in my ballpark, I suppose, but it's like, why? Because I know if I just wait 4 or 5 years, it's gonna be like, oh my god, look how much that is.
When everyone's getting the 8K, we'll be like, yes, the OLED, let's go. Yeah. Well, because like it's not the OLED, but it's the 4K HDR10, all that kind of stuff, and it works perfectly fine for me.
Oh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What size is your thing? What size is your TV?
I think it's 65.
Okay, so I got a 70, just because the difference in price between a 65 and a 70 was like minimal.
Yeah,
and it takes Dolby Vision and HDR10 and all that.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, well, now I need to get a 4K player.
Yeah.
So then they made sure I got that, and I think so far the best one for me, and I haven't gone through all the Star Wars movies, but the best one was Aquaman.
Really? Oh, that Aquaman, makes sense.
Oh, it just popped as far as the colors and the final battle. And it's one of those ones, you know, I'm sure we might mention WandaVision later, but I love the shifting aspect ratios.
Yeah.
And so when you get the big battles, it just boom, blows up to the whole TV, and it's like, this is fantastic. So,
like with was it the Marshall, the season 2 premiere, Mandalorian?
What about it? Does it shift aspect ratios?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't really.
Yes. Yeah. When they're fighting.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I need to rewatch it now that I have a 4K television. I watched that stupid episode on a phone.
Yeah, when they're fighting the Kree Dragon.
I watched it with my dad. Okay, I gotta rewatch it then.
Yeah, like it's when they time. When they actually do that, it basically turns full screen when they start to fight the Kree Dragon at the end.
Let me just. I can't even say what I'm going to do. Go watch it now.
Yeah,
I recommend it. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and it's one of those things where if you're really invested in what you're watching, you won't even notice it, but it still makes a difference anyway. You just don't know why.
But see, okay, so real quick, WandaVision, right? Watched the latest episode.
Yeah.
So when they did the shifting aspect ratios, you know what I'm talking about. And it's so slow, you know what they're doing.
Right.
Doesn't it feel like, what's it called, the focus pull? From, you know, the scene in Jaws where it shows Roy Scheider on the beach, and it has that,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it feels like it's the modern version of that type of technique where you're like, I'm going to use this TV and the aspect ratios to totally focus you on what's going on.
Yeah.
Kind of like, or the Poltergeist where the hallway stretches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not quite the same thing. That had a purpose. But that focus pull of, like, you know, Roy Scheider where it's like, oh, man. I really do love stuff like that.
Yeah, well, because it's like the technical side of filmmaking, you know, and like, especially, I think it's important more with the Mandalorian and WandaVision and things like that are made, they're literally made for you to watch on your home TV. You know, well, I mean, they're cool and they work well in theaters too, but I think it's especially important when you're going to see it for the first time on your own TV.
Right. Like, I saw Into Darkness. I think I saw it in IMAX. It was a LIMAX, but it was still IMAX.
Yeah.
And so when they had Star Trek Into Darkness, the scenes pop full screen in certain, especially when that and it's on the 4K. I don't have it, but when the what's the one guy ship? They're chasing the Enterprise in warp.
Oh yeah, I don't
know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I guess in that scene, it all of a sudden turns like full screen on your TV, and it's just, oh man, I need to get that. It was $7.99 for 4K for Christmas time. And I was like, nice. Well, it's not, it's upscaled HDR. It's not real. I'm not buying it. You know, and then one of my other favorite movies, King Kong. I love Peter Jackson's King Kong. I absolutely love it. And I won't take anybody talking crap about it. Same thing. It was $7.99. I was like, it's upscaled. Should have bought it.
No, you shouldn't have. No.
Why? You like that movie? Oh, wow. You're a dork.
It's not so much that I dislike it. I just think it's overrated.
Overrated? No one likes it. So how is it overrated?
Okay, let me rephrase. The people I talk to who do like it, I think they overrate it. Like the reasons that they say, and like what they talk about, the things they like, whatever, I don't know. I don't think it's as special as it makes it seem. It
makes me cry.
Well, I mean, good for you, but that's not, like, I don't know.
Like, here's what I don't like about it, and it's a pretty big thing. Jack Black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I love Jack Black, especially, like, Tenacious D, his rock band. I love them. But for him, I mean, I suppose he's playing that sort of, you know, Carnival Barker type of character. You know, he's an old-time, you know, movie maker, so he's sort of, like, trying to sell himself. He's a salesman, and so he fits the role, but I don't want his stuff. I actually want him to get eaten half the time or die half the time. He doesn't ruin the movie for me.
Yeah,
but I love the movie. I'm a big King Kong Godzilla guy. I really am.
Yeah, well, like, but Skull Island, for example, I will take all day, every day, any day over Peter Jackson one.
And you know that's fair. Have you seen the director's cut though of King Kong? The 8-hour version.
I think I saw there was like, with if they showed it as like a special on TV once, then I did. If that's not what I'm thinking of, then no.
No idea if they showed it special on television or not. Apparently, my mother went into labor. That's what she told me. That she was cutting my dad's hair. My mom used to be a, what's it called? Hair cutter? Cosmo? I don't know what it's called. Barber, I guess. But that seems more like men than anything else. So she was licensed. She'd cut my dad's hair. She was pregnant with me. They were watching the black and white King Kong. And
yeah,
her water broke.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, maybe that's why, you know, that kind of influenced my life choices. Are you gonna see King Kong versus Godzilla in the theater?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to asking you next, is how excited you are for that. Like, I'm looking forward to that. But here's the thing, though. People seem to be taking sides on who they think is going to win and who they're rooting for. And so far, the majority of the arguments I've seen are that the Godzilla people are saying, you know, he can go underwater, he can breathe fire, shoot lasers, all this kind of stuff. And the King Kong people have been saying he's a big monkey.
He's gonna throw his poop at Godzilla. And Godzilla's like, you win, fine, dude, leave me alone.
So yeah, I guess if you have to pick a team, I don't know which one would you be.
I always have to go with King Godzilla, always, because as much as I love King Kong, you know, there wasn't a ton of stuff for me growing up. There was the black and white King Kong, which I absolutely loved.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen Mighty Joe Young. Not the show. Was it? What's her name? Theron?
Charlize Theron, yeah.
The original black and white one. Oh, it used to be one of those ones that would be on like my local channel.
Yeah.
Sunday mornings, and I'd watch it. And he's not as big as King Kong, and he has, you know, like a girl he tries to protect, and it's such a good movie. Such a good movie.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then I remember seeing the 1976 King Kong with Jeff Bridges and what was her name? Beautiful woman too. Great actress. Oh man. Anyway, there's just not the quality, but the quantity of King Kong, of Godzillas that I saw as a kid.
Right.
On those Sunday morning shows, and there's just so many of them. So I absolutely love Godzilla more. I want Godzilla to win. Can we talk spoilers though?
Sure.
So supposedly you could see Mecha Godzilla in the trailer.
I didn't notice that, but can you?
Supposedly. I mean, I've seen the screenshots. I get what they're saying. It's still kind of supposed.
Okay.
But the other thing that they're suggesting is that perhaps it's not Godzilla that's been doing all these things that people are afraid of. Maybe it's Mecha Godzilla. Maybe he's meant to look like Godzilla. And it's that Charles Dance, you know, the guy from Game of Thrones and the last Godzilla movie.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's his team who's built a Mecha Godzilla and they're just wrecking havoc. Not really Godzilla. And Godzilla's like, what the hell? It's not me.
I was trying to picture him like coming out of the water and being like, okay, Godzilla, listen.
He would. But, you know, and above and beyond this, I know we're not even talking about Star Wars. but... So for me personally, right now, WandaVision has been amazing, and the WandaVision is going to end. And then I think, like, the following week on, like, a Thursday or something, Justice League Snyder Cut comes out, which is a big deal for me. I love it. I'm excited. Then the following day is episode one of Falcon Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh.
And it's King Kong Godzilla in the theaters. And then like a week later or 5 days later, King Kong Godzilla comes out on HBO Max. So we've just got a lot of stuff, you know, as fans of pop, you know, pop culture and that type of, you know, movies and all that and TV shows. I just need my Star Wars in there. I've got Marvel. I've got my Kaiju, my Godzillas, my King Kongs. I need a little... Bring me Bring me some Star Wars. Where's my Star Wars?
Well, and like, once again, we have the idea they've been saying for months now that Bad Batch was supposed to come out in April based off of the rumors. I don't know. Just every day I get less confident about that because like here it's February now and we still have no date, no announcement, no nothing like that. Now, for all I know, they could say tomorrow is coming out in April and then we'll go, okay. And then we wait until April, but
then somebody saw, I don't know whether it's true or not, but supposedly Loki comes out the day that Black Widow was supposed to come out in the theaters. So they're assuming that means Black Widow's moving somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think if Loki's coming out in May, early May, I think it was May 5th maybe, I don't know. There's no way that they're going to have the Bad Batch come out. You know, eventually all these things may be overlapping each other. But right now, there's no way the Bad Batch comes out when Loki's coming out. I think they assume that there's some sort of overlap between the two fans that, you know, let's spread it out a little bit at this point.
I mean, they could. I could also see them just kind of going for it and being like, you know what? Yeah, like you said, at some point we're going to have these multiple shows happening at once anyway. So let's just go for it and get it in now, make it happen.
Yeah, but COVID's, I think, stopping them from filming some other stuff.
Well, that's true. I mean, we know that they are filming, Cassian and Kenobi right now, both.
Yes.
But that also means we got a little ways before they're ready to be released. So, you know, and that's kind of interesting, too. If they're both filming right now, you have to wonder how close they're going to be to releasing to each other, you know?
Well, yeah, but one's like 6 episodes, and there's like the other's 12 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I know it's all going to work out. It's just kind of interesting to kind of think how we're going to be getting this down the road.
There's so much stuff coming.
Well, and speaking of something that we have right now, though, at least half of it, they did announce that the soundtrack for Star Wars Battlefront by Gordy Hubb, it is released right now, actually, for the 2015 Battlefront. And for Battlefront 2, it will be coming out this Friday, February 5th.
You said Battlefront's out right now?
Yeah.
Let me look.
Yep. They said it's, let me see if I can find where they, I'm pretty sure it's just like all platforms basically. Let me see if I can find it here.
Battlefront? No, that's not it. Battlefront 2? No. Wait. I don't even know. Some of these people just like to throw in.
Yes. It says it's digital retail and streaming services. So I'm guessing that's pretty much all of them.
Gordy HAAB, right?
Yep.
Oh, I believe I see it. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up real quick too, just to see if I can. Yeah, I'm gonna do the same thing like right now. Anyway, like I said, Battlefront 2 is supposed to come out this Friday at the 5th. So, I guess if you're waiting for something to hold you over till you can get to the Super Bowl, there you are.
The what?
The Super Bowl. That's next Sunday.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. What is that?
It's where somebody makes a really, really, really big salad. And
please, I love salads.
Yeah, and it's just so massive they decided to call it Super.
Did I ever tell you one of my first dates? I might have told you the story before. The waiter asked my date, "Did you want a super salad?" And she goes, "Yes." And he's like, "Huh? Did you want the super salad?" "Oh, I thought you meant the super salad." It's like, no, soup or salad. And then, of course, she didn't even finish any of it. And so it's like, okay, I'm not paying for you anymore. She went on one date. That was it.
Well, I did just pull it up just now. And yeah, it is 13 songs, basically an hour and a half. It's 1 hour, 27 minutes. On average, it looked like there are about 6 minutes on average, some a little higher than that. This one's like 9 minutes. Good. This one's 10 minutes there. It looks pretty good. Yeah, we got Jedi on the Battlefront. That's a highly rated one. Rebel Resistance is pretty highly rated. The Imperial Advance. Walker Assault. Like, there's some really good ones here. I'm also clicking the add button. There we go. All right. So remember to check again on Friday for Battlefront 2. And you can go ahead and get that added to your thing as well. And it says streaming services, so it doesn't matter where you listen, if it's Spotify, iTunes, or I guess Apple Music or whatever that is, Amazon Music, whatever it is, just go ahead and add it, listen to it, have fun. I know a lot of people have been saying that they would like to get Gordie Hobb to get a shot at something live action.
Yes.
I think that'd be good. I mean, I think he certainly earned it at this point. I don't know.
There's so much Star Wars coming out. You know, we could touch on. I don't know what time you have to leave, Tim. I do understand. You know, you got a bucket. But so here's the thing: the Star Wars Visions. Let's do a little bit real quick. Star Wars Visions is coming out.
Yes.
It's the animated, drawn by anime animators.
Studios, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Do you, anybody in particular, music-wise, you want for that? Do you even care?
I think that's kind of hard to say, because if this is being done in genuine Japanese anime style by Japanese anime studios... that's a whole other market. I'm not as far as the composer scene for that, I'm not super familiar with that. So,
right.
Yeah, I feel like it's not. My answer would be, I hope it's somebody who works with those studios often, so it's authentic and genuine to what they create. I don't think it needs to be outsourced to, you know, Michael Giacchino or anything like that. I think it should be
right. And it somebody might sound that weird they usually.
Yeah, right. I think it should be like authentic to the style itself. And so whoever they typically work with, or, you know, if they have any working relationship with somebody, whatever, I think they should just go with that.
Well, you saw that Kevin Kiner is coming back for Bad Batch, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's no question on that. So the next thing, obviously, is Book of Boba. We've got Book of Boba, and then we've got Mandalorian Season 3. I assume Mandalorian Season 3 is coming out before Andor.
Right.
And it's coming out before the Obi-Wan show.
Right.
So, Book of Boba, what do you want?
You know, my dream casting or whatever for that, I would probably say Remy Djawadi.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, especially because there is the potential that could be multiple seasons too. They keep kind of bouncing that idea around from what we can hear. So I would first off, the entire setup for the show was designed to look like Star Wars Game of Thrones, right?
Yes.
You add on top of that his experience with things like Pacific Rim, and you can kind of see some parallels with the way they do music with between him and Ludwig Göransson. So it could feel like it's in the same family, like the show's in the same family of The Mandalorian. The music should be remotely similar. I could hear Djawadi doing the same style of music, same sound and same tone, while still of course making it his own and having it be a Game of Thronesy kind of thing. I don't know. I think it's a good fit.
I don't disagree with you.
I'm not wrong.
You're not wrong. However, and you know me, I love Djawadi. I want him to be in Star Wars. However, Göransson just created an amazing Boba Fett theme.
Yes.
And he's already created that music for Boba Fett. And I'd actually love to see him continue to do the music for Boba Fett. You know, I almost think now that Göransson's in it, the Mandalorian universe is his to do. Doesn't mean I think he should do Ahsoka. Doesn't mean I think he should do, you know, Rangers of the New Republic. But I do feel that Boba Fett is his to turn down.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I feel like it would be good to have like a Solo situation where you have John Williams making the theme for Solo, and then John Powell. That's fine,
but they better use it, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
They better use it. They better not do what they did in Iron Man, like, you know, change the theme every movie.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I feel like they would, because, I mean, themes is... massively important concept to Star Wars, and it always has been. And even though they're changing the way it works a little bit with like the Mandalorian just having a new sound, but it works so well. Everybody loves it, of course. The theme aspect to it is still there. You know, Ahsoka's episode, Ahsoka's theme is throughout it. And the Mandalorian having his own theme is mixed in at the right times. Like, the concept of themes is still huge, even if what they sound like changes. So I feel like they will, they kind of have to keep using the Boba one. And then they should.
I'd rather save Jawadi, to be honest, for it's eventual that we're going to get this Old Republic TV show, you know, or movie series or whatever. I'd rather save him for that, to be honest.
I mean, that would be good too, of course.
That's my preference for where I'd like to see him go.
Okay. I mean, so yeah.
Mandalorian comes out.
Right.
We already know Gorenson's going to do that.
Right.
Andor.
I mean, look, first thoughts.
And the guy who does the music for Andor, cannot be the guy who does the music for any of the other shows, Obi-Wan. So you have to come up with somebody different.
Yeah, yeah. No, my first thought, I mean, Michael Giacchino, I mean.
Yeah, like, it makes sense.
Yeah. Again, he's just the best fit. I don't know if he would want to do it. Maybe he does. I don't know. But if it's just, you know, if I have my free pick of anybody, he's just the most natural answer.
That's the only answer?
I mean, yeah. it should be like, if I have to pick somebody, I would go with him. I honestly don't remember. Cassian doesn't really have a theme from Rogue One, does he?
No.
I didn't think so. So
and mostly the only themes really are for what's his name? Hold on. There's the Stardust theme for Jin and Galen.
Right.
That sort of music. I think there's also sort of the Chirrut sort of, you know, Guardians
right.
or the Wills theme.
Right.
But I got a better one than yours. I think my choice is far better. And you're gonna come to my choice afterwards.
Are you gonna say me? I should do it?
No, no.
Oh.
So this show is supposedly based around what idea?
What idea?
Yeah, like the other movie series that kind of mentioned that it would be this sort of spy thing, right?
Yeah.
Like what? What series did they mention?
For the spy thing? Like
They threw Bourne Identity out there.
For Andor?
Right, that it's like a spy sort of deal. Like he's out there doing espionage and all that kind of thing.
Okay, I'm back with you. You lost me for a second, but I'm back with you. Gotcha.
Right. So who did the music for the Bourne series?
John Powell.
Yes. Yes. Come on, Tim. John Powell doing Andor. The guy
who did Solo.
And he could even do a little bit of the electronica that he did sort of for the Bourne.
Look.
The Bourne movies.
Would he be good? Obviously. He's good at pretty much anything he does. However, part of what we're working with here. Part of what we're working with here is the concept that we can only pick one person for one project, and I have him for something else, which I'm sure you already know what that is.
Is it Lando?
Yeah.
All right. I gotcha.
Like the Solo soundtrack is, again, I will die on the hill of saying it is like one of the most underrated soundtracks of the past 10 years. Like, it's fantastic and people don't really talk about it. It's great. And
I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Special edition Solo soundtrack comes out and it shoots above Rogue One for me.
Yeah.
And honestly, in the Disney era right now, it's Solo, Rogue One, then probably Force Awakens, then Rise of Skywalker, then Last Jedi.
Okay.
What's yours?
I'd have to put more thought into it. I know it's not quite that, but I'm not offended by that ranking either.
Well, is Solo the best?
I really, you know, it depends on the context. Like any kind, like if
it's
you're
the
talking
best personally, it's not the best. You know, let me break it down mathematically. It's like personally for you, do you like it the most?
No.
Okay, what's better than it then?
trying to figure out which I would say probably. It's rough. I'm having to. It would be either episode 7 or 9, and I don't know which one.
Okay, so which has the better suites? Concert suites.
9.
Really?
I would say, yeah.
Over Ray's theme?
Well, I mean, just because it sounds a little bit bigger to me for 9.
Interesting. Okay, so you've got episode 9 is your favorite?
I'm not ready to say that because I this requires much more thought for me because they're very
okay,
close.
Okay, next episode. I need to know your ranking of Disney scores. I think we're getting somewhere. You just, you know, you're pussyfooting around and don't want to commit to something. I love that. I love that word.
But it's, you know, I like to mean what I say, so I don't want to just toss something out there if I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, well, you know, just be committed to it. That's all. You can change at any time. That's the thing. It's like forever, Giacchino's was mine, but I find myself, I have listened of all the Disney era Star Wars music, I've listened to Solo the most. That's it.
I've probably listened to Force Awakens the most.
Okay, so then it's your favorite.
It's also the oldest of them, so I have the most time to listen to it.
Damn, Tim.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I do want a ranking though from you.
I can try to work on that, I guess. Yeah, look, if I have time to figure it out and sort through it, then yeah.
Okay. All right. So I may have to slide. I may have to slide with your opinion. I think you have a valid opinion about
Lando, John Powell.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't want to, but if they said, "Oh, Giacchino's going to do Andor," I'm not going to go, "Damn." I wish it was Pal. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because they announced he's doing Secret Invasion. I'm like, good. So streaming for him is a possibility.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I feel the same. Like, if they said John Powell's doing Andor, I'd be like, okay, cool. Because again, he's going to be good no matter what he does.
Right.
I just, you know, if I'm Kathleen Kennedy or whoever, I don't know, whoever's making that call, I doubt it's her. But whoever makes the call. It just seems organic and natural to put Giacchino with Cassian and John Powell with Lando.
And it doesn't mean, you know, even though you and I are not picking the same people, it doesn't mean Kathleen Kennedy and the directors and the creators might not.
Yeah.
You know, John Powell doing both. And that's kind of the beauty right now. It, there's so much work for people, for composers. You know, I mean, granted, right now there's not a lot. There's nothing in the theaters, but eventually, you're gonna have all these movies in the theater, all these TV shows, and you're gonna have 8 episodes of a TV show, or 10 episodes, or 6. You know, and there's just more out there for people to watch that some of our favorite composers. You know, you don't graduate anymore. It's just all out there and it's all equal. It's not movies is the best and TV shows are the best. It's just what's a project that they're passionate about and what's a project that they can do good with.
And specifically with music too, we're in an era right now where if you have the right technology and the right skill set, which, you know, not everybody does, but if you have that, you can make music from your studio or whatever in your house.
Oh yeah.
That sounds nearly like almost unnoticeable differences to an orchestra. You can still tell, but the tech's starting to get there where some of it sounds really good.
You want to do one more?
Let's do one more.
All right. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
And I don't have a, and it can't be John Williams. But I don't have I haven't really thought about this one. But one just popped into my head. And so I'm going to hold that for a second. You go ahead and... You seem like with that maniacal sort of laugh that you have a thought.
Well, how realistic do these have to be?
They don't have to be realistic. What do you mean realistic?
Like the chances of it actually happening.
Doesn't have to be realistic at all. I think Okay, so if you're like Jerry Goldsmith.
No.
Sadly, he is no longer with us, so it has to be an absolute possibility. And I think at this point, there's not a single composer who's off the table for doing a streaming service. When you've got Michael Giacchino who's doing it, he is in that upper echelon now. He's not John Williams, but nobody is John Williams. The only person who's below Williams may be Zimmer. And still, I think Zimmer's not out of the ballpark. I think everybody else below, right? I mean, would you say it's Williams, Zimmer, then everybody else?
I would say there's somebody who's there with Zimmer who's who I'm going to suggest
who's
for Obi-Wan.
Equal?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready to hear this. As far as popularity or notoriety or...
Well, popularity is hard because like the average 15-year-old knows and loves Zimmer, not necessarily this guy. But as far as
But what I'm saying is that there's John Williams concerts.
Right.
Right. There's Hans Zimmer concerts.
Yeah.
And there's nobody else who have concerts for their music. Unless they've passed away, sadly. So I don't
think... I mean... I have seen some for this guy. It's just a little bit more niche than Zimmer.
Okay, I'm ready to go.
Alan Silvestri.
Okay. All right.
Like, I think he'd be great for Kenobi because he's really good, I think, at creating a sense of,
That's a good word.
Not mystery, because that's not quite the word I'm thinking of, but adventurous wonder kind of thing and be very orchestral and in the same vein as John Williams. He does that perfectly, I think. So, and at this point, if you're doing music for Kenobi, I do think you can't vary too much from a Williams sound. I mean, you can vary, but not too much. It's got to be that orchestral sound, I think. Yeah. When you have this favorite character being played by the same person who did him in the movies, I think the music has to follow.
Do we have an Obi-Wan theme?
I feel like...
Or does he just get like the Force theme kind
of? I feel like he falls under the Force theme kind of. Yeah, yeah. That's what I would say at this point.
Damn. Your idea is so good. I hadn't even thought about it. It's not the one I would have chosen.
Okay.
And I want to choose your idea, but I don't want to be a follower.
Now, who would you have gone with before I said that?
You know, well, here's what popped into my head, and I'm trying to see it, and I don't know. But I honestly think Junkie XL might be pretty good.
Okay.
It's a little bit more, he's not fully electronic, but it's still more of a percussion sort of, you know, I want to see, man, I love the classic Star Wars. How, you know, the Star Wars sound. However, yeah. I want to see what other people can do at the same time. And granted, I know it's Obi-Wan Kenobi, and it's almost like a sequel of some sorts, and you want to get people who are very similar, and I get your idea, and I don't think that there's any... I think the most recognizable theme in the past 10 years is from Silvestri.
Oh, Avengers. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Avengers and even Captain America, but obviously Avengers.
Right.
But I think that, and I don't know if it's just because it's the Avengers or if it's because it's so simple yet brilliant, you know, that you recognize that Avengers theme. There is nobody who, you just think of all his themes, you know, especially with Back to the Future. I just watched Back to the Future. I bought it in 4K.
Yeah.
I own it in 4K. and oh my God, that music is so perfect. The movies are so perfect. But you know, it owes so much to Silvestri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good choice you got there, Kim. I don't even... I'm ashamed of my choice.
I have a backup, too.
Oh, in case, well, you have in a backup? Silvestri. All right, go.
In case he's too busy and he can't do it.
Yeah, what is it?
And I think you'll understand part of why he's natural backup.
It's not your lover, is it?
No. No, I think he's a good backup to Silvestri.
Oh.
I'd say Henry Jackman.
Mm.
He'd be pretty good for it, too.
He would be, but I can't think of a single theme off the top of my head that he's done. That's good. He used to be better, I thought.
Well, I think it depends on where you're looking. Because, like, he hasn't really been given much of a chance to really develop a whole lot of character themes for the most part. Like, he did Skull Island, I think, right?
Yes.
I guess you could make like a Kong theme if you want. I don't know. But like, that's not a whole lot there. He's done some animated things. They all sound great, but they're not like a Star Wars thing. He did do Captain America, but there was already a theme for that.
Right. He didn't use it. Barely, I mean, used it. Like, so he's done X-Men First Class. Can you think of the music? No. Winter Soldier? No. Captain Phillips? Nope. Wreck-It Ralph? Maybe. Slightly. Big Hero 6, Civil War, Kick-Ass.
But you remember this conversation people were having about Goranson before he did Mandalorian?
I know.
I'm just saying, and Sylvester's still first, but I feel like if he can't do it, I probably would send the next email to Henry Jackman.
Well, so here's the thing. I don't have a problem with that. I think he'd do a great job, but I think that he would suffer under the same situation that Junkie XL Tom Hulkenberg would suffer under, is that they're very specific types of music, not interchangeable necessarily, but they're still within the same sort of family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sylvester's above. Sylvester's like, okay, we can't get Williams, but we want that orchestral flair. And then you're like, okay, Sylvester, huh? Fine, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah.
If you're going for something unique, I think almost that Junkie XL and Jackman are almost interchangeable. And I don't mean that they're cookie cutters. I just mean that either one is acceptable.
So you get the value from either one.
Yeah. You know, each one has its pros and cons. But yeah, they're sort of, you know, at least they're playing with the same software. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're the type of guys who will write it on these, you know, composing software versus like Sylvester, who seems like he's still writing it longhand and doing it on piano, let's say. And same thing with Williams and all that. But I don't have a problem necessarily with your choice. I think it's fine. I just think I like mine better if you don't get your Sylvester choice was beautiful.
Well, I have a few other thoughts for the rest of the show, so I guess we can go ahead and try to go through them, right?
Let's do it. I'm down. So we don't even know what's next as far as
time frame.
I mean, obviously we've got what do you think's next? Acolyte, Lando? Oh, you know, it's probably let's do Ahsoka.
Okay.
So Ahsoka, go for it.
So I know some people won't agree with me. Honestly, I would say Kevin Kiner. And I know he's Bad Batch already, but and we're not really like doubling it, but since he's official, I don't know if we count that. So I would say him because A, he's already got obviously a ton of time working with the character, and I think very successfully. And on top of that, I do think he should get a break at live action. And I feel like that would be a good chance for it. So one season limited series event with a character he spent countless hours doing music for, I'd say we'd give him a shot.
Kevin Kiner, huh?
Yeah.
You at least thought it out more than I have. I don't have a problem with that one per se. I'm trying to think of people that would fit into that that era.
Mm-hmm.
If everyone is, we don't even see the problem is we don't even know what type of show it is going to be.
Right.
So it's hard to figure out, you know, what style it might be. I don't know if I want to throw out Danny Elfman out there.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Or if I would think it should be more of a would Ahsoka be more of a synth type of show?
I don't think so. I mean, there's room for it, but I don't think that would be primarily.
What about Thomas Newman? What do you think?
I mean, is he good? Yeah, I'm just sick and tired of him being in the Oscars every year for no reason.
Oh, wow.
Like, is that the point where he just has to get nominated because it's his name? Even if what he did isn't as good as other people who didn't get nominated, doesn't matter. It's Thomas Newman. You got to get him in there for the nominations.
I thought his score for 1917 was, there was definitely parts of that score that were transcendent.
Yeah. No, and like I said, and he's good, but it wasn't that one. I forget, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, there was one he was nominated for. I don't remember what it was.
What about Danny Elfman, then?
I mean, well, like, I would think so, but, I mean, he did an Avengers movie, too. I don't want to forget about that, so.
No, he came in to do an Avengers movie for somebody else.
No, not really.
Yeah, kind of.
Not really. Like,
he kind of replaced your boyfriend.
Not really.
What do you mean?
I mean, I
have the original tracks before Danny Elfman redid them.
Yeah, but I think the word replaced isn't the right term.
Okay, so obviously they both worked on Avengers.
Right.
Danny Elfman came in to what? What's the word then?
Add.
Oh, but also to, we don't like this track by Brian Tyler, so let's go ahead and have Danny Elfman in there.
There's more to it, but I'm not going to put it on the public airways, but there is more to it.
Boy, I'm interested in this. Okay, either way. What about Brian Tyler?
Well, I have a show for him, but
I don't really have a choice for Ahsoka yet. I want one. I want a choice, but I don't have a choice yet.
Okay. And it's fair. That's fair. There's some, I just want to toss him out as like a wild card because I don't have a show for him, but I feel like you may like him for something, and I do think he would be a pretty good pick. I just don't know what home he would have. But Joe Trapanese or...
I agree with that one.
Like, I don't know where he would be, but I feel like he should go somewhere.
No, I think that one's fine. He's I don't really think I know his full sound yet.
Maybe he'd be good for Rangers of the New Republic.
I have a choice for that one. I don't disagree with that, but I have a choice for that one.
Okay.
You want to know my choice for that one?
I do.
Beltrami.
Oh, that's interesting.
Why would I pick him?
Why would you pick him?
Well, you've heard 3:10 from Yuma.
Right.
So he has that sort of, I don't know if it's called like a proto style, but it's he can do Ennio Morricone-esque
right.
type of stuff. You know, and he was my original choice to do the Boba Fett film, especially when it was Mangold
who right.
was supposed to be doing it, you know, because he did Mangold's 3:10 from Yuma. So I think that if we've sort of got what feels like, and I don't know if it's going to be, but Rangers of the New Republic feels like it's going to be that Western, you know?
Yeah.
That sort of outlaw, you know, reigning in the galaxy kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. That I think that Mangold, I mean, not Mangold, Beltrami, would be perfect for that style.
That's pretty interesting. Like I do like that. He's, as far as I can tell, he's one of those guys. He's never actually put out anything that's bad. Nothing. It's just he's kind of in the middle. We're like, or not in the middle. He's good, but like nothing has ever been like this is going to knock the water out of the park. I've just made a new phrase. For the soundtrack of the year or whatever. Like, I don't know. He's never done anything that just blows my socks off, but he's always consistently really good, though.
Right, and I think he just needs the, you know, he's done, what, 3:10 to Yuma, he's done Logan, but again, Logan, it's like, all right. I think the one thing that he's done that's knocked my socks off has been Hellboy.
Okay.
Hellboy's amazing if you listen to the score. It truly is. But again, you know that he's a good composer.
Mm-hmm.
World War Z, Gods of Egypt, Blade 2. I mean, I'm just looking down the list of things. Ford versus Ferrari, but I think that was in conjunction with somebody else.
I don't remember. I mean,
it's one of those things that I'm like looking at. Oh boy, you got me freaking out now. I'm looking at his list, and it is an immense list. All the Scream films, Mimic, Hurt Locker, Wolverine, iRobot, Fantastic Four, Underwater, right? All these ones. What else is there? There's Faculty. There's Resident Evil. Can you hum any of those themes?
Nope.
No. But I know 310 to Yuma, but it's basically because there's like a slide guitar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's one of the best at the like environment or like the ambience or type of music, you know? I wouldn't say he's like a particular theme kind of composer.
Is he what they call a journeyman?
Sure.
He's just a good composer, but he's not like, you know. Oh my God, the new Marco Beltrami score.
Right.
Oh man, I feel bad now.
No, that is an interesting idea, though.
I do think he would be good, though.
Yeah. Like I said, he's never done anything that's bad. I mean, he is good at what he does, so he would be a solid pick. I'm trying to remember because I just thought of somebody else, and I'm like, he would be great. I'm just trying to find a show for him, too. Well, let's just finish going through the show. So what do we have next?
Okay, so I haven't come down on my Ahsoka show. I'm not against Kevin Kiner. It would be interesting to see or to hear what he could do with a full-on orchestra on every episode. Because all the music that he does as far as orchestrations, I think has been amazing. I just think that he dips a little too much into the different John Williams wells. And I don't know if that's what they asked for.
Right.
But in Rebels, I hear him do John Williams, Indiana Jones music. And obviously he pulls from the Star Wars music. And I think for him, some of the things that bothers me is that John Williams very specifically has themes for each character or situations for the most part. And so when he pulls this music, who should be for this character, and he places it with this character, a different character, it's like, do you not even understand they shouldn't go together? You follow what I'm saying?
I do.
And I couldn't give you an example off the top of my head, but I remember being like, that's not, it'd be like Yoda's theme being with, you know, somebody else. You don't do it.
I get that. I feel like if not Kevin Kiner, that's fine. For Ahsoka, I could also see a really solid pick being James Newton Howard.
Okay, I can see that.
I mean, if you look at stuff like Maleficent, he's got that massive orchestral concept down pat. And then you look at more action-based fight sequences, all that kind of stuff. Look at, like, Batman, the Dark Knight series, you know. Like, you got a few different things you can go for here that I think he can really, no matter what look they give for Ahsoka, I think he can cover it.
It'll be interesting, though, what kind of music style they go for, though.
Yeah.
Because if you have, you know, Ahsoka, and obviously the one episode she's in is very samurai, Japanese, you know, there's definitely some Japanese composers out there, you know, who could do the job. But again, is that the style that they're going for?
You know, something, this is kind of random, but it just hit me, something that I really want and I don't think I would get it from the Kenobi show, no matter who does the music. I would really, really love it if we could get some combination of Anakin's theme and the Imperial March, like, merged into one thing that we get for his appearance. And I'm thinking about that because of Hayden being back for the role. You know, I'm like, how great would that be, especially in this timeline, if we have those two things combined into one sound for the show? Wouldn't that be awesome?
What's Anakin's theme?
All I have is Imperial March in my head right now, but it's...
Is it the one that's already a deviation of the Imperial March?
Well, it's not... No, I didn't think so. It's on the Phantom Menace soundtrack, I thought. I'm drawing a blank now, but...
Keep talking. It's okay. Keep talking. Go to the next one.
Well, what should have been left?
Go ahead and put it in my ear real quick. Go ahead.
I know. Well, okay, so the two things I have in my head that I have left, I know there's Rogue Squadron and Acolyte. Was there anything else that we haven't covered yet?
Rogue One, Acolyte. Well, yeah, we haven't talked about Acolyte. It's the Acolyte.
Acolyte, that's the one I would have Brian Tyler do. Like, it takes place at the end of the High Republic, I think. And the idea is that it's more dark side based, right? All I'm saying is if you take the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles theme that he did, and listen to it, especially the first half, I can see him making a really good, I think it should be a little bit, orchestral, not John Williams level, but still have orchestral elements because we're at the beginning of the prequel era now, like right beforehand, you know? And just kind of like that grand state of the galaxy or whatever. So I think it should be there, but also still kind of gritty. And I think he can do that really well. And I think he can really incorporate a dark, like a darker tone or undertone, I should say, for some of the music. And if you're doing something that's dark side just before the prequels, I think that's an area that he could really excel with that sound.
You are absolutely right. And mentioning Brian Tyler makes me realize that your choice is also wrong, though. And one of my choices from earlier is now wrong.
Okay.
Brian Tyler should do Rangers of the New Republic. Because...
I'd be down, yeah.
Because he does Yellowstone so good.
Yeah.
And it's this orchestral... Western, but not Western. You know what I mean? You can hear the classical Western elements in it, and yet it's not the traditional spaghetti sort of Western that Beltrami was aping. So I'm gonna take your Brian Tyler from Acolyte, and I'm gonna pluck him out and put him over in Yellowstone. And I'm gonna say for Acolyte, I'm just gonna throw this one out there: Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
Or what's that? Benjamin Wolfish.
Uh huh.
Because it feels like it needs sort of this trance ambient, like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It feels like it should be that.
Okay.
No, don't like the choice.
No, it's fine. I feel like whoever does Acolyte, I feel like has got to have the ability to do something that sounds dark, but still melodic and have an orchestral element. Like, for example,
Danny Elfman.
He could, but I'm just thinking the soundtrack for Gone Girl, which was Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Ooh, that's a good choice.
Well, no, I'm like, that's not what I would do, because to me, it had the dark element that was there, but the melodic part was still missing to me. And I feel like you got to have both of those elements there for something like Acolyte. I'm not saying that they would be a bad choice, but I'm saying that style that they did for Gone Girl would not work, in my opinion, for this.
Okay.
Now, they may not be a bad idea, though, for it. I mean, I know since then they just did what? Soul, right? Didn't they do that?
Yeah.
So.
They did.
I mean, maybe. And I do think you have some room for some electronic sound in Acolyte too. So I think it's going to be somebody who can also combine orchestral and that, which kind of takes me back to like what you were saying. That could be another Tom Hulkenberg thing too. He could do Acolyte.
Oh, yeah. You're right. You're right. I'm liking that one.
Yeah. Well, and then I also have a pick for
you know who you Rodman. Haven't said so far?
Who's that?
The Splah.
That's correct. You are correct in noticing that. And it's gonna stay in that way.
I don't give a crap about Alejandre. The Splah.
Like, okay. The man has made some good music, yes. The man is also heavily overrated, in my opinion.
Oh, not just heavily. Super overrated.
Yeah.
And here's the thing: you want to ruin any Star Wars show for me? Have Randy Newman do it.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of him right now, are you?
No, never am. Like, you could throw in, like, the journey. Like, here's the people that if you announce that, I'd be like, okay. If you're like, Harry Gregson Williams. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
Great. You know, if you like Claus Bedell. All right. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
You start throwing in people like Patrick Doyle. Okay, cool. That's going to work for me fine, I guess. Elliot Goldenthal. All right. Okay. All of them have had albums that I love, but at the same time, it's like, not going to do cartwheels over it.
I feel like Joe Kramer would do a good job, but I honestly...
Joe Kramer would do a great job.
I'm like, but I don't know what... I can't tell yet what singles him out versus another composer. So, I mean, I know things he does well, but I don't really know what his like genuine identity musically is yet, so I don't know which show to give him.
Yeah, I don't either. I do think for me and you, we're on the same page that Acolyte needs to be dark and mysterious a little bit. I'm just not sure if you and I agree on who it needs to be or should be. But I think we're on the right path.
Yeah.
Next one. We can go Lando. And I think you've hit the nail on the head on who it should probably be.
Yeah, it's got to be John Powell.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Makes the most sense, especially if it's
Donald Glover.
Yeah, I wanted to say Danny Glover.
You know, hey, I don't think it's going to happen, but Donald Glover could do the music for it too.
He could.
I mean,
he could. So could Ludwig Göransson, since they are friends.
That's true too. While we're at it, why don't we just have Oscar Isaac do some just cause?
No.
And Donald Gleason, let's have him do some too.
we kind of understand that one. We what's left? Droids.
Droids, and then I said I have something for Rogue Squadron too.
Oh, okay. Let's do droids first. Real quick.
Yeah. Do you have any ideas for that?
this may actually be Henry Jackman. And the reason I say that is I think his. If you listen to his Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack, it's very whimsical.
Yeah.
And it feels sort of a little bit, it's obviously a little electronic. It might be good to go. I don't know what style they're going with for droids yet, but when they say it's Lucasfilm and Lucasfilm animation together, it feels like it should be more of a peppy, you know.
Yeah.
But I think Jackman might be a good choice. I mean, what do you got?
I don't have anything I'm not like fully committed to somebody for this yet because I do still have a lot of questions on how the feel of the show is gonna be. An early thought I have is Christoph Beck, who's
I can see that. Yep.
Like right now doing WandaVision and has previously done things like Frozen, and Red, you know, other things like that. So I think he's also got a pretty good range of what he can cover, and I think it would be a good match for the show. We'll see the more we find out about it, but that's just kind of a first thought, I guess.
No, I agree with that one. I can see that.
And is that it for the shows?
Well, we still got Rogue Squadron and all that, but if you had to give, let's say, Gordie Hobb, right?
Yeah.
If you had to give him a show, he could have any one of these shows.
Yeah.
Because he's earned it. What show do you give him?
I am thinking.
Like, what show would suit his style? Or even movie, although I don't think they'd put him on a movie.
I mean, like, I don't know. I keep kind of, like, Sylvester's still my main pick, but I could see him doing pretty well with Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I could, too. I could. I don't think he'd do good with the Acolyte.
No.
I think he would do fine with Obi-Wan, because he could do very similar music to John Williams.
Right.
That would probably be my choice.
And I do, to be fair, I do feel like that is a more realistic choice than... I don't know why. I could be really wrong, but I just don't see Sylvester doing a streaming show right now. I don't know why.
Well, what's he got going on?
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why. I just don't feel like that's going to be his thing.
Like Jackman does a streaming show. He just did, or he's doing a Falcon Winter Soldier. So you've got, you know, Jay Keno, who obviously does Secret Invasion. There's not a streaming show yet for Zimmer or for Silvestri. Those are like the last of the old guard, so to speak. Obviously, yeah. John Williams. John Williams is going to, I think, is he signed to do anything, or is he just going to do Indiana Jones 5 if it ever comes out?
As far as I know, it's just Indiana Jones. And you know who would be an interesting pick for Rangers of the New Republic? This isn't possible, but it would be interesting in a hypothetical, theoretical world. Is James Horner.
Yeah, it would be good.
Yeah. Just kind of wanted to mention that.
James Horner. I listened to Crawl. Was it either today or yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean yesterday. Oh, man. The guy. Just so talented.
Oh, for, yeah. Very much. Like, one of the... like legends of the past, you know, century of filmmaking to me, which did is actually all of it. Come to think of it, it's
been around for like a century. Did you end up watching Band of Brothers?
Yes, yeah, I did.
So Michael Kamen, what did you think of his score?
It was good. I would like to go back. I haven't actually listened to it on its own yet, and I would like to do that. But in context, it was great.
But right now I can hum in my head the theme to the show.
I cannot remember it right now, but if I like heard it again, cause I heard it like the one day and then that was it. But I've heard it again. Yeah, I would too. Cause it was good.
He's a guy I wish was still around to do some things, because every Michael Kamen score I've listened to, whether it be Robin Hood or, you know, Die Hard or Lethal Weapons or Band of Brothers, you know, all his music is so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, he definitely passed away before his time, him and
James Horner.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess...
Okay, Rogue Squadron, last one. We don't even go to Taika Waititi yet, because we don't know what it is.
Right. So, do you have thoughts on that?
No, because I don't think she has thoughts. I mean, for her, so I don't know much about her. I know she did Monster, and I don't know who composed that. But I know Harry Gregson-Williams composed the first Wonder Woman, which seems like they just kind of threw him towards her. Here you go. And then maybe she had a choice and picked Hans Zimmer for the second one. And I don't know about you. Did you end up seeing Wonder Woman? 84?
No, I do still want to, actually, but I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking up Monster for you real quick, by the way. I'll tell you who did it.
Okay, so Wonder Woman 84 by Hans Zimmer is one of my favorite scores, you know, the past couple of years. There's not a lot this past year, but it's certainly got a lot of beautiful music. It's one of his better scores. So if she happens to be able to pull Hans Zimmer into doing Rogue Squadron, that would be amazing. Will she? I don't know. But I think he would absolutely fit.
So, Monster, the composer was BT?
The person who did the very first... It's Brian Tranciao. He did the very first...
Fast and Furious. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I don't know what else he's done, but he's definitely not my choice. And I don't know what they're going for, you know? Is this going to be like Top Gun sort of highway to the danger zone? You know what I mean?
Well, I think it's going to be... what I imagine it to be is still an orchestral, but higher octane orchestral.
Yeah, I can see that.
I could see some more modern elements being mixed into it. And when I say modern, I mean, you know, again, more like computer-based sounds over purely orchestral. I mean, again, look what Goranson did with Mandalorian. Same thing. You know, that is there's orchestral elements in there, but there's also a lot that isn't. So I could see there being some elements to it that aren't purely orchestral. The person I have picked for it is not extremely well known yet, but has done a couple things. I think it's a good start to the resume. I don't know. I feel like I would go with Pinar Toprak to do it.
All right.
And it really stood out to me when I saw it was Captain Marvel. The two biggest things, if anybody isn't familiar, the two biggest things that she has done right now is Captain Marvel and then Fortnite, the game. She's done a bunch of other things, but it's the two biggest things, most well-known mainstream things. So when I was watching Captain Marvel in the theater, there's, I forget when it was, but there was a scene about, I want to say like three quarters of the way through or something like that, where she was, I want to say she was like flying in space or something. I don't remember for sure what was going on, but I do remember noticing the music and being like, wow, okay, I have to take note at the credits here or whoever did this, because this is really good and really solid. And I really like that. And it was her. So again, there's not a ton there for, you know, deep pulls on what she's done, but I don't know. I feel like she would be a really good solid pick for it. And I would like to hear her do, and looking at Fortnite and Captain Marvel, I don't know how familiar you are with the music for Fortnite, but it is a more modern sounding thing. And combining that with Captain Marvel, I think you could get a good sound for Rogue Squadron.
Yeah. And here's the thing that's tough is that, you know, obviously we've picked a lot of people who have a, you know,
a deep decent resume.
Yeah, right. Under their belt. And there are people out there like Toprak who would do a phenomenal job. It's just I'm not there yet to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, you say that, and right now, for me, Acolyte, Roque Banos. Roque Banos would do an amazing job on Acolyte. And if you actually have watched, you know, have you seen Evil Dead, the remake?
No.
Okay, or there's a show that he's doing right now. It's I forget the name of it. I don't even know the translation. It's basically on HBO. It's in Spanish. It's basically like 30 pieces of silver or whatever.
Okay.
It is a horror show. It involves the money that was given to Judith and how these sort of pieces of silver or whatever are possessing people, and there's creatures and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. So 30 coins. I'm on his IMDb. 30 coins. 30 coins, yeah.
Okay, so he's doing the music for it, and it's amazing. So if you're looking for a, you know, somebody who could do like this scary sort of brooding music, he'd be perfect for it. And again, you know, obviously we come from a world where these people we're thinking of are the top that we've listened to many years, but there are a ton of people out there who deserve a shot and who could do a phenomenal job. They're just not coming to me immediately. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm looking,
at
his...
That Roque Banos one would be so good.
Yeah, I'm looking now like, through his IMDb page. His top three known for things are, Evil Dead, Don't Breathe, and In the Heart of the Sea. Wasn't that Ron Howard?
I think so. Wow. I have to listen to that again.
Let me see. Yeah, that was Ron Howard, Chris Hemsworth, Cillian Murphy, Brendan Gleeson. I didn't see that. Did you see that? Was it good?
Yeah, I saw it. I liked it. I don't, you know, I didn't hate it. It's tough because for me, if I don't watch it in the theaters, my attention span is probably not the same when I watch it at home for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I hate that. It bothers me. There's so many things going on, you know, in my house with dogs and kids and wife and, you know, just life in general. I don't think people can sit there and go, shh, quiet. I'm about to watch something for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Don't say a word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But for the most part, when you're in a theater, you're like, leave me alone. I'm here. I can turn off my phone. I can mute it for 2 hours. This is the relationship that I have with the show. Or this film, and I wish I could do that at home. It's just so hard. It was much easier when I was younger and I had more free time and I was single. You know what I mean? But now it's just like there's life. People demand your time, and you don't have a lot of time to just be by yourself in film, but you know, or TV shows, but I do what I can. No, but you understand what I'm saying, right, Tim?
Yeah. Okay, look, cool. There's nothing you ever say on this show that's wrong. You have a 100% accuracy record with this show, including when you said Boba Fett was going to ride in on an adit. Like, that happened. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah, in my world, it definitely did. And yeah. And look, there's a the book of Boba Fett is coming. It could happen.
Yeah. It could. Let's see. I guess we're good. There wasn't a ton to be talking about tonight, really, but
and yet we went for like an hour and a half.
Yeah. We got the Battlefront music, of course. Don't forget to add that if you haven't. And then yeah, it's just ended up talking about
real quick, WandaVision still fantastic.
Yeah. No, I'm happy that they're expanding. Like the first few episodes were teasing that there's more coming and that there's a bigger story here than what we got for the most of the episode, and I like that they have expanded that now to a bigger concept, and they can do more with the show, bigger stakes, all that, you know. And in a relatively short time frame, but they kind of need to, because I don't know how many seasons this is going to be. But I'm glad to see that they're doing that. They're keeping it interesting, and I'm ready to see more.
Excellent.
I mean, you like it, right?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I really do.
I saw, this is like a really minor thing, but I saw people point out that when the, I'm trying to blank on it, the FBI agent.
Oh, yeah, his little card trick.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about there? How
yep,
when he did that at the beginning to show his ID, and that was a reference to in, was it the second Ant-Man?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where, Paul Rudd shows him how to do the card trick, and he's like, show me how you did that, and then that's how he shows his ID by doing the same trick. It's just cool continuity. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So bye, I guess everybody. We're done. Yeah. We'll see everybody next time. Thank you for listening. Stay warm if you are in the section of snow, and if not, then. The half the nation is jealous of you.
Yes, and if your pipes freeze, go buy yourself a bucket to poop in.
That's not good advice.
Well, where would they poop?
Well, not in a bucket.
Poop in your backyard. It'll freeze, and then you can pick it up and put it in your trash.
No, donate it to King Kong so he can fight Godzilla.
There you go.
Anyway, thank you guys. See you.
Poop bucket.